Hello and good evening, ladies. Welcome to tonight's P2P Talk. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, my name is Natasha Rubin, and I am the founder and facilitator of Passion to Purpose. Passion to Purpose, which I affectionately call P2P, is an online network that was created by women for women so we can support one another while we learn, share, and grow together. We focus on personal, professional, and spiritual growth. And P2P Talk is when we are able to connect via conference call once a month and hear from an invited guest on topics we would love to hear more about. If you would like to learn more about P2P, please visit our website at p2pwomen.com or you can send me an email at Natasha, N-A-T-A-S-H-A, at p2pwomen.com, and I would gladly answer any questions you may have. So, again, if you want to learn more about P2P, please visit our website at p2pwomen.com, and you can read up and see what's on the blog and even listen to past recordings. Sorry. And sign up to receive our newsletter. Or you can send me an email at Natasha, which is N-A-T-A-S-H-A, at p2pwomen.com, and I would gladly answer any questions you may have, okay? So tonight, we have the awesome pleasure of having Dr. Carla Elsap.
Conference muted.
Carla is a licensed professional and nationally certified counselor located in Southeast Georgia who specializes in counseling, criminal offenders, lifestyle choices, substance abuse, and clinical consultation. Dr. Sapp is a dynamic public speaker who has a passion. I'm so sorry. Of course, I get a tickle in my throat. For mentoring teens and adults, while being transparent about sharing her success and struggles, encouraging individuals to overcome everyday challenges and struggles. So tonight, Carla is going to share on the topic, Well Women Maintaining Balance. So without further ado, before I go into a coughing fit as well, I'm going to introduce everyone to Carla. Good evening, Carla. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. So sorry with this coughing. Of course, it's going to start when we're on a conference call. So thank you so much for joining us and agreeing to share with us this evening. And take it away.
All right. Well, good afternoon, ladies. And I have to admit, I'm a little nervous, but I am so very excited to be here tonight as the guest speaker. I want to thank Natasha definitely for this great opportunity. I have to admit, when I first received the request, I was like, oh, my goodness, what should I do? And I viewed the website and I viewed the Facebook page and was blown away with this movement, one that is much needed and provides women, I feel, with a place to receive encouragement, provide support, as well as empower women to identify and pursue their passions with the expectancy of fulfilling their God-given purpose. So I am super excited and elated to be here tonight. When Natasha first contacted me and advised me that she wanted me to discuss the topic, we kind of talked about the fact that May is not just any ordinary month. It's the month that mental health awareness is brought to the forefront. It's the month where everybody recognizes Mental Health Awareness Month. There are several activities that go on throughout the United States to kind of bring awareness. And so she wanted a topic that kind of coincided and brought this all together for women. And so as I started to brainstorm and think about what it was I wanted to talk about tonight, I ran across something that I'd never knew before. And one of those things that I found out was that not only is May Mental Health Awareness Month, but last week, which is the week after Mother's Day, was actually National Women's Health Week. And so I thought, how awesome is that, and how amazing it is that it all kind of came together for me. And so I'll admit that I think that both of these areas are very, very important and should receive as much attention as possible, not just during this month of May, but year-round. And so doing some thinking and trying to figure out what it was I wanted to talk about, I came up with the topic, Well Women Maintain in Balance. I chose this topic for two of the reasons that I just mentioned, the fact that May is Mental Health Awareness Month, as well as National Women's Health Week is recognized. But it's also something that is very, very personal to me. Just to kind of give a little bit of a background and why it's so personal for me, a year ago I finished up my doctoral research. And it's funny because my focus was on lifestyle choices and wellness. But at the same time of me finishing that research up and figuring out what was I getting ready to do in my life with my doctorate degree, outside of working my full-time job, I found myself at my heaviest weight. I was riddled with several insecurities, very unhappy, and have to admit I was burdened with a lot of self-inflicted stress, just worrying consistently about things, feeling like I wasn't doing things right, I wasn't being productive, I wasn't accomplishing anything, and so I brought all this stuff on myself. And it's funny because it's ironic that I was that same person who just a few months prior had just finished a dissertation on lifestyle choices and wellness. A lot of people thought, you know, oh, she has it all together. And I can give off that appearance at points in time, but the reality of it was that my entire life was completely out of balance and literally seemingly was falling apart all around me. So last year this time, at my niece's graduation, there was a picture that was taken of me, and I have that picture to this day because it's kind of one of those things that remind me of who I was a year ago. And when I saw that picture, I realized at that moment I had lost myself. I was not well and realized that I needed to make some changes in my life. For me, that picture was so symbolic because I felt like the outside appearance, me being at my heaviest weight, was symbolic of what it was I felt on the inside. And I felt that there was a longing on the inside of me to release all the baggage that I was carrying around, being able to restore myself and experience a healthier lifestyle, and being that woman who personified wellness, this woman who could show that, you know what, I can take back control of my life, I can become well, and I can encourage other women to become well. So when I started this, I started it for myself, and my daughter, who was 12 at the time and now 13, took on this journey with me, and we both became well. And so what I've come to realize, and I have to admit that, is that what I've experienced, learned, and even gained in the past year has been beyond amazing. I've become more confident in who I am as a mother, who I am as a daughter, as a friend, as a coworker, a sister, a professional, but most importantly, just as a person. And so when I thought about that, I was like, wow, if I can start to feel that way, I wonder how many women I can empower to start to feel that way. How many women can I encourage to really take that step back and look at themselves and really start to take control of our lives, take control and realize that, you know what, I can be well and I can maintain balance in my life. And that was something that I wasn't doing. I wasn't enjoying life. I was existing. And I tell people that sometimes there's a difference between existing in life and living life. And for so long I existed. And that existence was shown through the way that I carried myself, the way that my body had become so worn down and overly used, and I didn't want to be that person. I wanted to live. I wanted to be able to say, you know what, I'm enjoying life finally. And so that's my story, and that's why this topic is so, I feel like, important to me, important for me to share, because the same way that I was able to be encouraged, I feel like I can encourage others as well. So when we think about wellness, most people, when you hear the word wellness, you tend to think about physical. And what's come about with that is the fact that, you know, physical wellness has long been synonymous with being healthy, and being physically fit. However, over the years, wellness has evolved. There used to be a time where wellness was just having the absence of an illness. As long as you weren't sick, you were well. That's no longer the case. Wellness is so much more. It's very multidimensional, and it encompasses so many areas of our lives. Some of those areas include relationships and social interactions, our physical, of course, our mental and emotional state, our finances, our level of spirituality, our occupational work, leisures, hobbies, and even academics and intellectual. And so all these areas tend to have a big part to do with our overall wellness. And they're all interrelated when you think about it. I can't be well in one area and not have some level of wellness in another. And at the same time, if I'm lacking in an area, that area is probably going to cause me to have some levels of dissatisfaction in another one. So it's important for us as women to recognize that being physically healthy or fit is only one aspect of wellness. And that if we want to achieve our most favorable level of wellness possible, and start to establish and even maintain balance in our lives, we must first understand wellness in its entirety and begin to develop a lifestyle that embodies all of those facets, making all of those areas kind of line up for us, not putting too much emphasis on one area of our life, not kind of dismissing certain areas of our life, and I've done that before, but being able to get to a place where all of our areas of our lives are aligned with one another. They all tie in, and we're happy in all of those areas. As women, we tend to be faced with taking on multiple roles in our lives. Some of us are mothers. Some of us, including myself, are single mothers, wives, coworkers, caretakers, friends. And every role that we have in our life come with some demands. Some of them are a lot more demanding than others, but we all have these roles in our lives that have demands. And so at times when we're faced with these roles that are at times demanding, we tend to and can experience high levels of stress that contribute to several things, health problems, high blood pressure, diabetes, constantly getting sick, having to miss out on work, our relationships start to decline, we're not going around our friends like we should, or our relationships with our significant others tend to hit a bad patch. And we also experience that diminished ability to take on more. And when I was thinking about that, I was like, you know, I need to find some type of research to kind of really make this make a lot of sense. Because it's easy to say these things happen. But I'm a researcher. I love research. I love being able to back things up with numbers because then it makes it a lot more real. And so I found a study that was conducted by Arizona State University. And based on their study, what they found, and it had to deal with women and stress and the roles that they play in their lives and the stresses that they may experience. And what that study found was that women under the age of 46, and it definitely noted that especially women under the age of 30, tended to face the greatest number of stressors from the demands of being spouses, being parents, being children, being employees or professionals, and even students. And that those stressors could and have impacted their physical and emotional health. And based on that study, what that says is that being able to find balance, being able to start to look at the different areas of our lives and really try to figure out which area of my life am I putting too much emphasis in and which area of my life am I not putting as much emphasis in so that I can try to figure out how can I get some balance. I was that person. I was all work, no play. I went all in when it came to me going to work every day, showing up to work early, making sure that I took on as many tasks as I could. I had poor boundaries, wasn't telling people no. Then I come home and I got to take my kids here or my kids there or I'm doing all these other things. So it was all work, no play. For a year, I worked on my dissertation nonstop because in my mind I had to get it done. I had to accomplish it. And I didn't take the time, although it was an accomplishment, I didn't take time to enjoy the accomplishment because to me it was just another task. It was just another task that I needed to complete. And so sometimes it's about being able to take the time to just smell the roses. Instead of looking at them and saying, oh, those roses are pretty and keeping it moving, being able to take that time to say, you know what, this is nice, and really enjoy the moment. And so finding that balance, being able to see how I can start to balance my life out. And so finding balance among the various roles we play and even an inner balance within ourselves can be challenging. And one of the analogies I like to use when I talk about being able to find balance is going to a buffet. And when we go to an all-you-can-eat buffet sometimes, I know for myself at one point in time, go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. You go up there and you're starting to get the food and you want to pile all this food on your plate. And then you can't eat everything on your plate because what you've done is you've piled all this stuff on your plate and you can't really enjoy it and you can't really enjoy the dessert that comes afterwards or you can't even really enjoy yourself or whoever you're with because you probably get overstuffed so quick that it's like, oh, man, now I'm tired. I don't want to be here. I'm ready to go. And so I use that as a way to say, you know, sometimes we put a lot of things on our plate. We take on so many things. We just keep adding to the plate. We add this and we add that and we add this, but we don't see where we're taking anything away because we've added so much that even when we think that there's that glimmer of hope, we realize there's really not a glimmer of hope there because I've added so much more. So being able to start to look at this plate that we have in front of us and starting to think, what can I do as a woman? What can I do as a person to start to get some of the stuff off my plate and to find balance, to make my plate a lot more even, to make myself feel comfortable, to make myself not feel like I'm overstuffed, I'm not burdened down, and I'm sitting here looking at this plate figuring out, how am I going to eat all this food? Because now I'm a wasted. And I don't want to waste it. So when I think about that plate, I think about my time. I don't want to waste my time. My time is precious. So how can I make sure that I'm enjoying all the time that I have, the 24 hours that I have in a day? I'm maximizing it, but I'm enjoying it all at the same time. And I'm not worried about what I got to do tomorrow and how I didn't finish up what I needed to do today, and so that's got to carry with me on into tomorrow. So finding balance is vital to our overall health, our overall well-being. It's very vital to our level, us being able to achieve wellness, us being able to feel more comfortable and confident in ourselves. So how can we as women cope with the stressors we face on a daily basis, find balance, and even achieve wellness? Simple. All boils down to taking care of yourself. Something that at points in times as women, because we take on a lot of roles, we have a lot of roles that sometimes we don't even look to take on, but they just seem to find us. We sometimes put ourselves to the side and everybody else becomes more important. But being able to take care of yourself, that's the most powerful step, the most powerful thing you as a woman could do to be able to achieve balance and even wellness in your life. It is very important that you consistently pay attention to your own needs and your feelings. I'm a firm believer in if I don't know and if I'm not paying attention to how I feel, if I'm not able to think about the things that I need, who's going to do that for me? Nobody else is really going to do that for me. Because if anything, they're going to be trying to figure out how can I take advantage of her, or how can I get this, or how can I get that, because she ain't worried about herself, so why should I worry about her well-being when she's not worried about it? So being able to pay attention to what your needs are, what your feelings are, and understanding that the mind and the body are connected. They're linked. If I'm feeling a certain way, my body's going to feel it. If I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling frustrated, I'm feeling stressed out, my body is going to start to experience. So it's one of those things where when you think about it with your mental and your emotional, if I'm out of balance, if my emotional wellness is out of balance, is out of whack, 9 out of 10, everything else in my life is going to fall out of balance. Kind of think about the tire on a car and the alignment. And when you have a car and, you know, you didn't get your tire aligned, that car starts to get out of balance. It starts to shake, start to lose your tread on the tire. Before you know it, you got a bad tire. All those things start to happen. You start to use more gas. Your car is completely out of balance with that alignment. And that's how your life is. That's how you are. That's how your body is. So if you're not aware of how you're feeling, you'll find that your body will start to experience this, and everything around you will just seem to be falling apart, from your emotional well-being to your physical well-being. Because when I'm feeling frustrated, I'm feeling aggravated, I'm feeling angry, I'm going to do one of two things. I'm either going to isolate and I'm going to my bed and I don't want to talk to nobody. So that means I'm sleeping too much or I'm not sleeping like I should. I'm overindulging in food, more than likely probably sweets and chocolate, because at that point in time I'm trying to make myself feel better, so I'm eating more than I should, or I'm not eating nothing because I'm too busy trying to sleep and I just don't want to be bothered, I don't want to eat. And then you find that your relationships start to fall apart because you're so frustrated you don't want to talk to certain people. So you're getting, you know, they start to see you frustrated and they're like, you know what, I'm not going to talk to her, I'm not going to be around her, things of that nature. Go to work and you're not having a good day, stuff at work just don't seem to be going, you're having their possibly attitude with coworkers, or you don't want to be around them. So all these different things start to happen. And so it's very, very important that you pay attention to your needs, your feelings, and be mindful that the body and the mind are linked. Do not allow stress and negative emotions to build up. Try to maintain balance between your daily responsibilities and the things you enjoy. Long gone is that whole all work, no play. Got to be able to balance work and play. Because in order for you to be satisfied in life, those are two areas, that occupational satisfaction as well as that leisure and hobby. You got to have them both in order to have some sense of happiness, some sense of purpose, some sense of fulfillment. If you're taking better care, if you take care of yourself first and be able to put yourself first, it's been shown that individuals are better prepared to deal with the challenges of life when they arise. And we all know there's always something. There's never a time where there isn't something going on, so there's always going to be something. And so when we're thinking about taking care of you, taking care of ourselves, what are some of those things we can do? And so I came up with a list of things just to kind of give some ideas of a lot of things that can be done. So taking care of you includes pursuing activities in addition to physical exercise. So outside, not just physical exercise, not just running and working out and going to the gym and all that, but other things. So some of those activities include, being able to practice self-discipline, being able to understand that, you know what, when I leave work at work, and I come home, and when I'm at home, I'm at home, and I'm doing what I need to do at home. And I'm not worried about the fact that I didn't turn in that report, or I'm not stressed about the fact that, you know what, I got all this other stuff coming up in 3 weeks. I got this review coming up in 3 weeks. That's work. And I got 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week to get it done. When I walk out that door, that's that. And I'm going to enjoy myself outside of work. Doing things that positively impact others. Being able to give back, being able to help other people, being able to empower and encourage them as well, and not just feeling like I got to keep it all to myself, but that what I learn, what I've gained, I can give to other people so that they can learn and gain as well. Learning and discovering new things, enjoying the beauty of nature or art, managing your stress levels by engaging in some mindfulness activities, some yoga, some meditation, even journaling, being able to write down how you're feeling, what's going on with you, and what are your thoughts, how is that impacting you. So being able to kind of find a place where you can kind of center yourself and you can just be with you, getting to know you, and being able to have those moments of mindfulness, gaining some clarity. Limiting unhealthy mental habits such as excessive worrying, anxiety. The reality of it is that sometimes we like to control things. I hear people say all the time, you know, women can be some very emotional creatures. And at the same time, you know, that aspect of us, that motherly instinct in us, we always want to protect. We always want to make sure everybody else is okay. And so we want that's part of us wanting some control. That's part of us, you know, wanting to make sure that everything is going according to plan. But we can't make everything go according to plan because at the end of the day, things are going to happen the way it's supposed to happen. It kind of reminds me of the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I can't change everything, and I can't control everything. What I can control is how I think, how I feel, and how I respond. I can have expectations, but I always expect the unexpected, because when I expect the unexpected, I don't find myself worrying as much. I don't find myself being burdened down with the fact that, oh, my goodness, I couldn't control this, or I couldn't control that, or well, what if I had did this or what if I had done that? It happened because it was supposed to happen, and I have to be able to accept that. I have to be able to embrace that, learn the lesson that's supposed to come from it, and be able to move on from it. So not allowing myself to be so worried about things going on. Also, making leisure time more of a priority. That goes back to that all work and no play. Make leisure time a priority. Do stuff for you. Go out and have you some fun outside of all these different roles that you have in your life. And develop meaningful relationships. Because at the end of the day, nobody's in this alone. We all need someone to talk to. We all need to have social interaction because we're human beings. And as human beings, as women, we crave social interaction. And if we don't have social interaction, a lot of this stuff is just building up inside of us. We're not dealing with it in a healthy manner. We're dealing with it the way that we want to deal with it, which creates a lot of other issues for us. Like I said earlier, like I said earlier, our mind and our body is connected, and so then we find ourselves in a very bad place, a very unhealthy place. And so being able to have that outlet, having those meaningful relationships, those people that we feel like we can call and we can trust, that we can talk to, that we can share our thoughts and our feelings with, we can get feedback from them. They can give us we can give them feedback. They can give us suggestions, and they can help us be able to continue to develop and evolve into the individuals we're wanting to be. We're able to achieve wellness. We're able to maintain balance in our life. So as I'm coming to a close, I want to be able to reiterate that women who are healthy typically are in control of their emotions and their behaviors. These are women who are able to handle their life challenges, build strong relationships, and be able to recover from setbacks, from those trials and tribulations, from those stressors that we may experience, those unexpected things that may pop up and we don't really understand why. Improving your level of wellness and achieving balance in your life can be very, very rewarding, benefiting all aspects of your life, to include boosting your mood, your self-esteem, helping you to build resilience so that you can recover from those setbacks, and adding to your overall enjoyment of life. Women who have achieved balance and an increased level of wellness in their lives have the following things. This is a list that I have that I came up with. And it's a list that's really good for me in person because it helps me. And these are things that I have in my life. Because I have found me, I found myself at a better place in my life from this year versus where I was last year. And those things are a sense of contentment, feeling at peace with who I am and what I have, and being able to enjoy it. A zest for living and the ability to laugh and have fun, not take everything so seriously, not feel like I have to do these things, but doing things because I want to and I enjoy them. The ability to deal with stress and bounce back from adversity, not letting my trials and my tribulations hold me down, not letting them define me, but rather me define them. A sense of meaning and purpose in both activities and in relationships. The flexibility to learn new things and adapt to change. Having a balance between work and play, rest and even activity. The ability to build and maintain fulfilling relationships, and most importantly, self-confidence and an even higher self-esteem. So I want to personally thank Natasha again for this opportunity to share and encourage each of you to begin putting yourself first, making yourself, making your life, your health, your wellness, your level of balance in your life, your number one priority. Being able to achieve wellness and being able to establish and start to maintain balance in your life. So, Natasha, thank you for this opportunity, and I will now turn it back over to you.
This is great. Thank you, Carla, for sharing with us this evening. This is awesome. I have like 4 pages of notes.
Oh, wow.
I don't even know where to begin. So what I may do, let's see, it's 8:04. So I'm going to open up the lines, and if anyone has a question or a comment for Carla, this will be the time. So all lines are muted, unmuted. If you need to mute your line, you can just put yourself on mute. But do we have any comments or questions for Carla this evening? Don't be shy. I know who you guys are when it's time for questions and comments.
Hey, Natasha, this is Siobhan.
Hi, Siobhan. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. So I really appreciated this call and this message, and I'll just make a comment that it really resonated with me, the point about doing things not because you have to, but because you want to. So I'm I'm home now starting my own business, and everything is up to me. And I am an incredibly ambitious person. If I'm not multitasking and doing 17 things at once, I don't really feel like I'm being productive. And I come up with all these sort of demands for myself of things that I need to do, that I should be doing. And I really appreciated, you know, the reminder to do things because you want to and not because you have to, because I think as women we do place a lot of unnecessary demands on ourselves to do way too much just because we think that's what we have to do, and we don't always sort of reach out for help to let other people do things that they're very capable of doing, but we shoulder a lot on ourselves. So very encouraging, so I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Siobhan. One other thing I know that, and I think it's a piggyback as well, or is when you shared about getting your doctorate and not taking time to enjoy the accomplishment, really enjoying, you know, not being able to enjoy the moment. So,
right.
Can you recall when, or the aha light bulb moment when you're like, you know, I'm dealing with this as if it's a task, but it's a really exciting. It should be feeling really rewarding. Did at any time did you feel like, okay, I need to look at this a little bit differently? Because it's a huge accomplishment versus, like, let me just get this done.
I'm going to be honest with you. When I first finished up my degree last year, I was so exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, again, like I said, it felt like a task. Everything about it was a task, and it was I had to get it done. And so it really wasn't – it's funny because – at my job, and I work for the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and I work in the psychology department, and half of the staff there didn't even know that I had my doctorate degree.
Wow.
And didn't actually find out, and I'm going to tell you when I really started to embrace it, because I wouldn't embrace it, but I would have some people be like, oh, you're a doctor now, you got your doctorate degree, I'm so proud of you, and I'd be like, thank you.
What?
People were like, well, I'm going to call you doctor now, and I'm like, you can just call me Carla, I'm okay. You can call me Ms. Sapp, whatever. You don't have to, because to me it really wasn't something that I had truly embraced.
Right.
But back in February, because I work with some of the most amazing coworkers I could have ever picked to work with, or that could have ever picked me, because I'm the last one in, so they picked me.
Right.
But my chief asked me, we have to do this annual training every year, and asked me at that point in December of last year, first part of January, would I be willing to do a presentation each week during the annual training. And at first I was like, I don't want to stand in front of anybody. I kind of just want to, you know, continue to fly underneath the radar.
Right.
It is what it is. And my first training I went to do, and she introduced me. And when she introduced me, she talked about how proud they were of me. And all of the staff were like, oh, my goodness, we didn't know you had your doctorate degree. And I was just like, okay, thank you. But it was kind of at that moment between my coworkers, all these different coworkers at work all embracing it. My family were, I have some amazing family members who have all embraced it and, you know, tell everybody about it. And I started to really, you know, I need to embrace this.
Right.
I need to be able to embrace it and look at it as an accomplishment. It wasn't a task. Not everybody can achieve this.
Right.
And I did. And I should be proud of myself and shouldn't feel like it's just another task that I had to do in life. And so it really wasn't until this year, January, February, when I really started to just be like, you know what? I did. I accomplished that. And I'm proud of myself, and I'm going to enjoy it now. And I've seen embracing it and me starting to get to a place where I'm enjoying it, I'm doing so much more.
part of me being here tonight is because I have embraced it, and I'm willing to say, you know, hey, I did do this. I did accomplish this. I can encourage other people and empower other people and be able to, you know, talk about who I was and where I was at and how I've gotten to this place and other things that I have been doing over the course of the last few months. And so I can tell now that I'm actually starting to enjoy it. I'm actually starting to embrace that accomplishment and enjoy every minute of it.
That's great. Yeah, it was just very interesting when you mentioned that. It's like, I felt like it's a task. I'm like, well, not too many people can achieve that. So you have to be very proud of yourself for doing that. And I'm happy that you have embraced it because you're here tonight and you have shared some excellent tips, nuggets, resources. And I think I'm going to see if you can even do me a favor and the last couple of the list that you had, maybe I can send it out. I think I want to post it on the blog.
Okay.
So whenever you get a chance, put that up as a blog post. Okay, so everyone else is still unmuted again. Are there any last comments or questions before I give you all an assignment tonight? And it's based on something that caller shared with us tonight. So any comments, last comments or questions?
Conference muted.
So what I'm going to ask everyone, so Carla shared with us, and I believe that, so when Carla, when you was just talking about the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Right.
And piling every, you know, we get to the buffet, is just, you know, one of the things we don't, as a example of finding balance, and we keep adding to the plate and don't see anything being taken away. And a question was posed, what can I do to start taking things off my plate? So that is our assignment for the rest of the month, even leading up into June, that everyone, I would like you all to write down and consider, what can I do to start taking things off my plate, to feel comfortable? Think about that plate. So maybe take some time to yourself and just start writing down, you know, what are you currently involved in? What are you currently doing? I know for me, this is the first year my son's in kindergarten, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to send him off to kindergarten. I have a three-year-old, you know, he's going to hang tough with me, you know, while I'm running my entrepreneurial things at home. And we're at the end of the year, and I am on the PTO board, executive board, not even a member. I'm on the executive board. That was not on my list of things to do this year. And some other things that I have going on. And while it was very rewarding, fulfilling, or eye-opening. It just made me think about, yes, being open to, you know, situations or things that may come up that I should be open to, but did I take anything off my plate?
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly say that I don't think I did. So sometimes we add, and I think we need to consider before we add, you know, what is something that we can take off or maybe lessen? Would you agree with that?
I agree. I totally agree with that.
So even I think even if it leaves you, I don't know if it, you know, fully fulfilled or you do feel like you've accomplished something while doing it. Overall, I think, you know, because I did not take something off my plate and probably added a couple more things on,
mm-hmm.
my energy level could be higher in other areas, or less time to enjoy things on my own or for myself. That is actually, we've established tonight, that is the number one most powerful thing we can do, is to take time to take care of ourselves. So I took away from that self time, you know, obviously I'm going to take care of my children,
right?
But, you know, still need to make time for myself because it will give me more energy so I can be there more for my children. And I think if we realize, or my spouse, you know, realize that when you do take that time, that it gives you energy to do more of what you need to do and more of what you want to do, if that makes sense.
That does make a lot of sense.
Okay. So, yes, I was taking my notes, and I'm going to go back. but this was really good, and it was a refresher or reinforced, you know, for us to take care of ourselves, and no one else, you know, unfortunately, is going to do it. If we're looking like we're a good running machine, oh, she can handle it, she can do it, and like you said, eventually whatever is inside or going on inside of us is going to show up, and it is all connected. So again, thank you, Carla, for this evening. And
thank you for having me.
Conclude. Oh, and I want you to come back. We're going to figure out another topic you can do. So
just let me know. I'll be ready.
Thank you so much. Okay, ladies, again, this was P2P Talk tonight, and our focus tonight was well women and maintaining balance. And part of me looking at the topic of just mental health and women for the month of May, but also national, we said it was Women's Health Week, Health Month?
National Mental Health Awareness Month, and then the week after Mother's Day was National Women's Health Week.
Women's Health Week, okay. Mm-hmm. So those two other things that, you know, we can look up and see how other ways that we can better ourselves and each other to give back as we research and learn how can we share with other women, as, you know, this is our support, women-to-women support. So that will conclude tonight's call, and the recording should be sent out tomorrow to everyone. If you are new to the P2P Talk and would like the recording or any other recordings, if you're not signed up to our newsletter, just go to p2pwomen.com, and you can sign up to receive the newsletter, and you'll receive an affirmation, a weekly affirmation that I send out on Monday, as well as any other announcements, as well as upcoming P2P Talks and recordings that you may have missed or just want to keep in your file. Okay, ladies, so everyone have a good evening. Thank you again, Carla. We'll be talking.
All righty.
Have a great evening.
You do the same.
You guys, thank you so much. Talk to you guys next month. Take care.